Welcome to the Regeneration Ministries podcast. This is Josh Glazer. I'm the executive director of Regeneration Ministries. We know being a human being can be beautiful and it can also be messy, with this combination of physical, emotional, sexual, relational, and spiritual. Jesus knows this too. So each week in this podcast, we address topics to help you become more whole, more the men and women that God designed you to be. All right. So here's a question we're just going to lob out there and talk about. I think I'm actually going to ask different staff members this question. Dan, if you could go back, knowing what you know now, having journeyed through what you journeyed through, what's something you wish, like, or maybe say it this way, if you were sitting down with your younger self, what's one thing that you, as the older, wiser, kinder you, might want to relay to the younger you?
Wow. And it's interesting that this was primed up a little bit earlier, and the thought that just came to me was not even a thought that I had like 30 seconds ago. I would want to tell my younger self that it's okay. You don't have to get it all right. Mm-hmm. It's okay to not be responsible. It's okay to not be the one that feels like somehow he's responsible for other people's emotions. It's okay to drop the ball. It's okay to miss the shot. It's okay to not get the grade. It's okay. It's okay.
So I would actually say something very similar. I mean, we were not talking about this ahead of time, but I think for me, I would really want to say you're going to make mistakes, and that's actually a really great part of this process. You're going to get some bad grades. You're going to make some bad choices. Mm. You're going to struggle with some sins. It's not licensed to do those things, but you do not have to keep beating yourself up and being so hard on yourself about those things, because it's a human experience, and God's going to use it to grow you up. Why do you go there with your thinking about it?
Well,
it's okay?
Man, why I go there is because I spent the better part of my life living with this pressure that was, primarily, I think a lot of it was internal. I think it was part of maybe an environment I grew up in as well, that I had to get it right. There was no room for error. There was no room for mistakes. It's like I played basketball through high school, and you know, the shot had to go in. It was not acceptable to miss a shot. It was not acceptable to have a turnover. And actually, if you could have listened to me, if you'd have been on the court or in the stands listening when I was playing, you'd have heard me say things to myself out loud that an individual should never say to anyone else, and most definitely not themselves. The criticism was so harsh. And it wasn't until probably into my late 30s, early 40s that I was starting to come into this reality, after having been a Christian for about 35 years, coming into the reality that I'm loved, period, and that God actually pursues me. And so even as a child growing up, I lived with this fear that, man, at any moment, if Jesus were to return and I didn't have every sin I had committed confessed, if there was one sin I hadn't confessed, I was going to hell. Mm. And so I was living in this place of insecurity and this place of fear, and believing that I somehow had to hold it all together and keep it all together.
It's a lot of pressure.
And man, looking back, I realized that that was a part of my life 7-8 years old, probably.
Wow. Yeah, I can relate with the sports thing. I think that there are ways for me, like I can think of a couple different settings. I can think of an early sports experience where, like, when I would miss the ball, I it wasn't until probably late college that I started recognizing that I was the only one who was talking so meanly to myself. Like I'd miss, you know, the catch, and I'd be like, sorry, that stunk, you know, bad throw, my apology. And other players on my team were not doing that. They weren't saying that to me, and they weren't saying that to themselves. And I was like, wait, why am I the only one like taking this so hard? I also remember an early job, one of my first jobs, I was a busboy at Red Robin. Still love their fries and their Whiskey River barbecue chicken burger. This show is not sponsored by Red Robin, by the way, but I was a busboy at Red Robin. And I remember one of my coworkers, one of the waitresses who worked there, I remember one day she said, Josh, why are you apologizing all the time? And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, you're walking around, like we're all, you know, busy, and you're getting in somebody's way, as we all are. And you keep saying you're sorry. Like, this is just the way it works here. And I was like, oh man, sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean it. But I was like, I just had this kind of like, almost this knee-jerk apology thing that was going on. And I think it was part of this really being hard on myself. And I almost like, if I could go back, I mean, I almost feel this kind of paternal sense of like, oh, I wish I could just take you in my arms. And it's kind of like, hey, you're going to be okay. Like, it's all right. Yeah. It's
that picture that you just had there. And that's when I, since I primarily work with men, that's an image that I'll often bring up for them and, you know, ask them, you know, when you have an experience now, do you ever feel like you're a younger age? And if so, what would it look like for you to come alongside your younger self with compassion? Mm. And so that's part of what I would like. I mean, were there people that were coming alongside me in compassion? Yeah, there were. But to come alongside my younger self with compassion, with an arm around my shoulder saying, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to be what you think you need to be in order to be accepted and loved.
And I think for me, like there were people like that. I can name who they are. And I, whatever I said to them outwardly, inwardly, it was like I pushed them away. I didn't really believe that their acceptance of me was authentic. I still felt like I had to be on guard in some way. There was a guy who mentored me when I was, after I graduated from high school, his name was Tom Trinidad. And I remember him looking at me in the eyes and saying, Josh, why are you so hard on yourself? And I also remember my dad saying that to me at one point, like, you're so hard on yourself. And I even remember replying to my dad at one point saying, well, look, I'm a Jesus follower. I'd rather be hard on myself now and find out, you know, when I see Jesus face to face that it's okay than to not be hard on myself and find out that I should have been. But I didn't realize like just how much me being hard on myself, me expecting perfection on myself was actually hindering the kind of growth that I really wanted and needed. I mean, you know, I used the example before of, you know, playing on the ball field and making mistakes and apologizing. Well, there's not much that helps you like be more, or have less for your hand-eye coordination, just kind of like just to tank, than really scrutinizing everything you do. Like if you want to throw the ball straight, you don't try to micromanage your arm in that moment. You got to let it go. You got to just kind of trust that your body's going to like line up. And so I was working against myself in that area, but I think in other areas, relationally and emotionally and academically, et cetera.
And you make a really good point there. The ironic thing of it is that the tighter we are and the more clenched we are, like, I got to make this happen, the more pressure we feel, the less likely we are to end up getting the results that we're looking for anyways. But it's something very, very real. That thought of wanting to come alongside a younger self and saying, it's okay. You can dial it back.
So here are a couple of things where my brain goes with this. Like one is, it's actually a sad scenario when someone who does what we're describing actually, kind of excels at pushing beyond the areas where they stink or where they're not doing well, or they made bad choices. It's actually, I think in some ways a grace for someone to continue to struggle and stumble along, because it brings them, I think, more quickly to the end of themselves, where they have to realize I have a choice here, either to receive grace and kindness as I am and to accept myself as I am, or to continue to just beat myself up and feel this miserable. As opposed to the person who, you know, is the achiever who, like, you know, they press through and they're being hard on themselves too, but that being hard on themselves makes them to succeed and then success and more success and more success. And then at some point they reach that, you know, that ceiling where they've gone as far as they can and they start tanking. Or somewhere along the line, they do, like I remember doing, like they find a drug of choice. Like you got to let the air out somewhere. You got to let the pressure out somewhere. And so for me, I know I ran to TV, I ran to porn, I ran to isolation, before I began to learn to let some of those kind voices, compassionate voices, gracious, self-accepting voices in.
Something that, thinking back about that younger era also that I would like to communicate or even have a do-over is just in the awareness of what it meant for my relationships with others. People mm-hmm. saw me as a good guy, as a leader, as a guy who pretty much had it together. And yet it was almost as though I was keeping up this facade. And what would it have been like to have been able to drop that? Because I think as I look back on relationships, I remember having a conversation with a guy that would have been my best friend in high school. And I was at his place. We're adults. This was probably like less than 5 years ago. And he's talking back about our high school years and playing basketball. And he's remembering it in this way that, I mean, he's telling this story. And I'm like, that would have been awesome. but wait, I was there and I didn't experience it as being awesome.
Yeah.
And so there's a loss that I experienced, even as my friend Dean was talking about that, and this longing that, oh man, I wish I could go back and have a do-over and experience it like I heard him experiencing it. So also, what would I say to my younger self? It's be open to relationships.
Yes. Yeah.
Drop the mask. You don't have to be something you're not.
Yeah.
And just be you.
Relax. Yeah. Relax. I mean, let people in. Yeah. And those two for me are those two are directly correlated. You know, like, I got to keep the mask up. I got to hold it together. Can't let people in, because if they know the real me, I'm in trouble. So I got to keep, like, really, you know, pulling up as hard as I can. So other question. Let me just turn a corner here before we wrap up. Do you need to hear that today? Is the message that your younger self needs to hear, Dan, is it something that you actually need to hear today?
Absolutely. Absolutely, unequivocally. It's a message that, I mean, for me, and I guess for others as well, you can't hear enough. Because there's still that part that unfortunately has some life. And I know it's not the life in Christ. I know that there's a spiritual element to that battle that goes on. And I know there are people in my life who speak that message of grace and acceptance and love. And there's still, at times, it's hard to be able to receive and embrace that. Yeah. There's part of me that still says, yeah, but.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I asked the question because, you know, not for me. I'm done. I figured out. No, I asked the question because even as we're talking, I'm finding myself like, oh, you know what? I actually really need to hear that today. And I've heard some people say, and I do want to hear when Christ returns. I do want to hear the words, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant." Like, that would be so sweet. But there's another part of me that just wants to hear him say, "Hey, it's okay. It's okay." I mean, like, just I got you. I love you. You know, and it is a message I need to hear. And I'm grateful for the voices in my life, the people in my life today who still point out that kind of hyper self-critical nature, and who can help me to laugh at some of the yet to be redeemed and sanctified parts of me, because I need that. I need people who know me, who see my faults, who know my, you know, my stumblings and my fumblings, who know the areas of sin that I still wrestle with, and who embrace me. And I need to keep practicing receiving their embrace, their acceptance. Yeah, man. Okay. Well, we're still on this journey. It's one of the things I love about regeneration is that we don't graduate and then help people. We travel down a road. We make some progress, and then we turn around and reach back for somebody who's a few steps behind us and say, "Hey, you know, can we give you a hand? If we can, that'd be great." So, Dan, thanks for being in this with me, and you who are listening, thanks for being in this with us. You know, we're in this together. There's one Savior. We all need him. We'll tune back in next week. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this episode has been helpful to you. Listen, if you find these podcasts beneficial, please join our listening community and our larger ministry work in one of two ways. First, would you leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts? Doing so actually helps bring this content to more people like you who can benefit. And second, would you become a financial partner of the ministry by donating either one time or on a monthly basis? You can find out how to do so at regenerationministries.org/donate. Thank you so much again for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.